Reading comic books, Pop-Tarts podcasts, listen to Bug and Douche. Spoiler alert, got my mind on my comics and my comics on my mind. Reading comic books, Pop-Tarts podcasts, listen to Bug and Douche. Spoiler alert, got my mind on my comics and my comics on my mind.
Oh my god, did you answer this time?
It's not, it's my fucking computer, it won't answer.
Yes.
Alright, let's get this shit on the road, because I gotta get out of here in an hour.
Alright, so let me save this so I don't burden my... So I don't overload my RAM.
RAM truck.
Photoshop. Now nothing that manly, Photoshop.
Who's hosting tonight, me or you?
Would you like to be the host this evening?
I will, and I'm in a fiery mood.
Alrighty then, so why don't you be the host of the first ever Ultron Ain't It Cool News Pop-Tarts We Fucking Miss You Spoiler Alert Podcast.
And those of you guys turning into here, JD, psych!
Ha! We made you think he was coming, we put a post out and everything, and then... He's not here.
He had something else he had to do, but he guaranteed he will be back next week, so we'll see what happens.
From
but
Mark's
this
mouth
is this
to
is
your...
that thing, that long title that Douche yelled out earlier. And my name is A Bizzle in the Mother Grabbing Hizzle.
And that would
you
be
find me on the Twizzles at Mark_L_Miller. And who the fuck are you?
I'm the guy
that I randomly call on Skype.
That's right. Well, it's chat roulette, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just the masturbation roulette wheel. I'm Rob Patey. Also, I've been known as Optimus Douche on Ain't It Cool News, though I'm thinking of untethering from the douche at 41.
Nope.
It's got to stay.
If I have to do ambush bug, you have to do douche.
Well, have to is a subjective word. We don't write in
We have
Russia.
To call a news conference for that.
Do we?
Yes.
Can't this be it?
No.
All right. This is a podcast, right? And what do we talk about on this podcast, Mr. Host?
We talk about bowel movements, ailments, gripes, groans, the occasional political wrongitudes, and sometimes comics.
There we go. Yeah, we do meander a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Talk about a lot of things, but. Comics is what we initially set out to do, and then more than likely within 5 seconds of the conversation, it veers off into some other kind of inanity.
But you know,
I'm in a spicy mood tonight, so we're going to fire through these. Did we get any correspondence this week?
Wow, or as some people call them,
she
mails from
mails. Sounds like you're saying mayos.
Well, you know why? Because I think our first letterbug is from Britain.
Oi!
Oi, because he writes in and he says, more nonsense, but he spells it with a fucking C instead of an S like a normal person. So I know he's from a different country.
Oh, blea bloomin' onions.
No, that's Australia.
Oh, you didgeridoo.
Hi, guys. There are two more antique roads left near where I live. I don't fucking doubt it, because your cars over there are like, there are Matchbox toys. You've got to, like, I mean...
He's responding to my comment about the antique road show and the fact that there can't be that many antique roads left in America with the new highway systems.
All I have to say about driving in England is, look over there, kids. Big Ben, Parliament.
Hey, look, kids. There's Big Ben and there's Parliament.
I know. Get over to the left, honey.
Kids? Big Ben?
Parliament?
Again? Look, kids. Forget it. It's amazing. I cannot get left. There's Big Ben, kids. Parliament.
Did you just make that up right here, right now?
No, that was a European vacation for anybody who missed the 1983... classic with the brother of Jason Lively, the brother of Blake Lively.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, Gossip Girl. All right, let's get back to that. All right, the podcast is good. I've listened from episode one when you had other hosts that were not these people, these fucking retards. Except you, JD. You was here when I was here.
Ooh. Core.
I liked when you put music to break up the comics and then you stopped because someone said it was bad. It's your podcast. Fuck that guy. Keep up the good work. If you want... What?
Oh, he's more? He's got more?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to give one comic to one person, over 18, not a kid, who had never read comics as a way to say, this is why comics are great, what one comic would it be and why? Much love from the UK, Chips and Fish, PS Comics, Matt Allen.
Matt Adler?
No, Allen. Matt Adler is from New York. Sounds much like this guy, but it's just meaner.
What comic would I give somebody? I would give them... I would probably give them... the All-Star Superman, where he comes back and visits his father before he dies.
Why don't you just give him the whole fucking 12 series book? Why are you only giving them one fucking
part
of it?
You said one comic!
Alright, but you can do a pantheon.
No.
Why are you so fucking literal?
Because, you know, he's asked a specific question, and I'm giving a specific answer. I don't know, fucking... Fantastic Four 89.
Anything from the Chuck Austin X-Men run or the Grant Morrison X-Men run. I'm either going to bore you or confuse the fuck out of you.
Franken Punisher saga. No.
No, I
if you want to kill comics forever, you would give them that Rick Remender piece of horseshit.
At this point, I would not give a person just one comic. It would have to be a graphic novel or a series or an arc. I would give optimists, people are just, share a book and like the lighter stuff, All-Star Superman. I would give pessimists The Dark Knight Returns.
No, Dark Knight is, Dark Knight, we should revisit it by the time the new series comes out, which is I think I like in a month or two away. It seems like I'm seeing ads for it all the time now. Isn't it coming out like in Batman month?
Oh, October. Or right after. Because Batman Day is 9/26. So
We should read Dark Knight Returns 1 week and then The Dark Knight Returns again to take a shit in your face the next week.
That means like next week and next week because we're fucking slowly impending on October. So.
Okay. But anyway, we should do that. But I bet on returning to The Dark Knight, it's going to feel really dated.
I think no, and I will take that Pepsi challenge. And I say Dark Knight Returns because that's what people know from the movies. They know that version of Batman now from the movies, especially as he's going to be portrayed by Ben Affleck. So that I think right now, yeah, I would still give that book.
Well, good for you.
And they just did the cartoon of it like a year and a half ago, and everybody fucking loved it. Meh.
I didn't see it.
It was good.
I would give them... I don't know what I'd give them. I think the All-Star Superman is really good. I think stuff by... if you're looking for arcs that are kind of just like pure good... I like Night of the Owls, actually, because it's just Batman being Batman in Gotham City fighting people, because we haven't had that in quite a while.
I like to ask people, it's a loaded question, because, if somebody's earnestly coming to me and saying, I want to get into comic books, what should I read? It's not I can give them one answer just from that question. I have to know them as a person, and it helps to know what other forms of fiction they like. If somebody likes Serenity, let's say, for an instance, well, you can go the easy way, give them the Dark Horse books and be done with them, and that'll keep them reading for like a year and a half. There's probably enough of them there.
Or if you want to kill their interest in it, you give them Bendis's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Or if you really want to spur them to another book, you give them Copperhead. very, very Serenity-like in its tonality and its handling of the Western tropes. Yeah. Yes.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. We have another email.
Do we?
Uh-huh.
All right. Remember, we're on a time crunch tonight.
I'm sorry. Dear assholes, JD okay? Yeah, he's fine. We went through it. I'd have to say it's different without him. The three of you belong together. If one is gone, I'd actually prefer no guests. Don't worry about it, because none will actually come back on with us. what I'm saying is I like my podcast poopy and developmentally disabled.
We can deliver that.
That's you and I together. I'm a geriatrician. That fucking sucks.
That means he works with old people?
Yeah, and deal with death and dying and the demented every day.
And old balls.
Oh, fuck, and that's why he listens. Right. And I have to say again, the podcast gives a much-needed reprieve, and your podcast really reflects my sensibilities.
Good.
He deals with the death and dying all day. All right, nobody's seen the Corolla. Anyways, ever notice how age and nostalgia affects your critiques? The Star Wars prequels are shite. But don't you think that if you were as young as the kids today, they'd be just as good and as fondly remembered as the originals?
So we're talking I do know. I have talked to had this conversation with kids.
Yeah.
And they do say they love the originals. Or they not the originals. They say that they love the prequels.
I found I found they say it to about the age they believe in Santa Claus, and then when they're actually functioning human beings, they can't deny that the first three are better.
Well, I think that it doesn't matter because it still looks like an old movie to them, and they're just not interested in like an old movie. It needs more zip and bang.
That's fine. And so they're the ADD.
It needs more animated characters and shit like that.
Well, and I don't see that they have such as a zealot fervor for it. I see that they liked the movie, but it was really merely just another piece of glut in their lives that their parents had an interest in. Yeah, I don't
see too much. There's too much stuff these days that they can choose from, like, and it's too much that is already has been derived from Star Wars. Be it, I mean, every Star Wars started it all, and as far as like. Big time movies and big heroism in movies and everything like that. It just feels like there was after Star Wars and there was before Star Wars as far as like films. And so it's like, I don't know. Never mind.
We had nothing else to fucking do, and that was why. It's the same thing with comic books.
So toys and cartoons and
comic books.
And lightsabers and comic books and fucking Ewok Christmas specials.
Right, and we thought that was cool. Have you watched the fucking Ewok Christmas special recently? It's the most terrible thing on television, but we thought those stupid Ewoks opening their hologram presence was the most amazeballs thing we had ever seen because it was. We were stupid.
We didn't have stuff back then.
Yeah, the cow goes moo. That was our fucking iPad.
That actually was.
It was a string that told us about six different animals and the noises we made. That's it. That's all we had on our iPad.
If they had that now, someone would have accidentally killed themselves.
My 7-year-old godson has been playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City for 2 years on the iPad. Okay? I mean, he's, you know, they're going to be so far ahead of us. It's not even funny. Okay. And this is a... This is Roberto Luna that's writing because he says, in response to my early... all right. Emails. I reported that your podcast is more anticipated than my current queue of TV shows. Right, we made fun of that. That's how we got on Antique Roadshow before.
Oh, that's right.
For the other email we got. From what, England? Show us your bum. They are currently, and a lot of shit is off season, Hannibal the Strain and Burn Notice on Netflix. Whoa, that's 90s style. Also, True Detective, and we're losing Bug. I can hear him yawning. But that's not saying much because it's awful. Ever have that approach to comics? You'll try out a book and follow simply because there's a paucity of quality comics out there? No, I've got too much other shit in my life. Like, I love doing tabletop gaming and video gaming, and then there's the works at the IBMs, and no.
I will stick with books, even though they're kind of shitty. Like, I'll read, like any Punisher book, I think.
Would you really?
Yeah. I'm a big Punisher fan, and I think I have every Punisher comic ever made. So that's kind of nice to say that I can have that.
No, and I got rid of my zealot fervor, you know, like to make these things like fucking Pokemon. You got to get them all and have in a row. It's silly, and I've stopped doing it, and if the book shits a bit, I bail.
Well, very good. Let's get to the comics.
Okay, well, we're just addressing our readers' shit that they wanted to say. Well, go ahead, Mr. Host. Go ahead, host. You fucking host us in.
We are going to host. We are going to start out with Miracle Man. Let's get this one over with.
Okay.
It's written by...
you're hosting.
Neil Gaiman. And with art by Mark Buckingham. Brandon Bigorna.
Is that a leprechaun getting a blowjob?
Yes. Blumpkin.
On the Blarney Stone? Blumpkin's on the Blarney Stone?
Blarney Stone, yes.
How do you do that again? Do that again?
Anthony Megara. Anyway,
wow.
So in this confusingly titled Miracle Man Book 4 of the Golden Age Number 1,
mm-hmm.
It says bright and shiny at the very first like on the cover.
Uh-huh.
Issue 1.
Right.
That's what it says on the cover. Yes, you open it up.
Yeah.
Book 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was like new shit.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's what I thought it was.
Well, you're dumb. Well, I'm not going to say you're dumb, but naive.
I guess.
Because as we know, Miracle Man was some shit written a long time ago that was under all sorts of contentious legal battles and all sorts of nonsense. And it's been taking forever, it seems, to somehow reprint the book. How the fuck does that happen? This thing comes out like once every lunar cycle.
I don't know. Is it really important to reprint Miracle Man?
Well, we bought it and read it.
Was he renamed Marvel Man at some point?
I believe so. You guys educated me on that always. You know, back when we had more than just you and I on the podcast, we'd get education from other people who read other things. You and I were not deep on Miracle Man, so.
Yeah,
you know more than I do. Sorry.
Yeah, all I know is that working in a comic book store back in the day, we had a couple of Miracle Mans up on the wall that were supposedly valuable. But I wasn't really interested in them because they weren't Marvel or DC. That's the way I was when I was a kid.
It wasn't published by Marvel back then?
No, it was published by like First, or no, I don't know what it was published by first. It was
okay.
I don't want to say something and then have someone yell at me for that.
And I ultimately don't care. If you had on the tip of your tongue, I figured I'd get it out of you to give context for the listeners, but that really wasn't for me.
It was published in the 80s.
Good.
On paper.
Yeah. And I the reason we were going to dump this initially, and I said, you know, let's not, because I thought it was a decent issue. It was like, if you take out the fact that this is Miracle Man and all this shit we know with the pretext and context behind it, it was really people trying to find God and then finding out God is simply a disappointment. And I thought it was an amazing journey that they had to climb this sort of man-made or alien-made Himalaya to finally reach Miracle Man, and then he was kind of a dick.
Well, he gave the one guy the one guy wanted something impossible, like about like the healing of his kid,
right?
And the other one wanted to become an artist, and he was like, okay, well, yeah, you can become an artist. Anybody can become an artist if they practice and they have the patience. And you know, the only difference between great artists and people who aren't good artists, I think, is that there are artists who just have the patience to sit there and draw something. And then there are people who don't have the patience to actually sit there, draw, and develop develop that urge to create into a style and a technique and everything. So
there are some artists though that have changed the course of our perception. I mean, you know, I look at something like Escher does or Salvador Dali does, and I go, that's pretty fucking cool, you know.
Rob Liefeld,
I mean, changes our entire perception of how the human body is constructed and how many pockets are actually on a pair of pants.
Yeah, see, that changed.
47.
Yep.
All across your waistline.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of pockets.
Huge codpiece.
Mm-hmm. So Miracle Man was not up your alley.
I just think it was if they're going to reprint it, I just think they should just reprint it for the collectors in one big epic thing, because that's what they're going to do anyway. Then just do it in these installments, and then try to market it as if it's a number one with the new cover and everything, and make it seem like this is going to be something new.
Yeah, I mean, there is a duplicitousness to it, but are they doing a drumbeat to relaunch this title? I think they are. I think October brings us the true new number one Miracle Man. And if it's
are you sure?
You know what? Yes,
I don't think so.
I think it's Bread List, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, whatever. Somebody go check that for us, because I'm not going to look.
You know what? You know
what?
I do know that Aliens met Vampirella this week.
For the first time, Buck?
Finally.
Right. What happened?
Two franchises have come together after much fervor from, I mean, this has been going on since, like, you know, the egg was made.
We
wanted to see these two properties coming together in such a fashion.
At this point, I have to ask, you know, can you get Aliens to do your fucking bar mitzvah for you? Because what the fuck haven't Aliens been in? Or your wedding. Vampirella, too. She's been prostituted out to every other fucking title.
They kind of are the carrot top of horror franchises.
Both of them. I mean, they're everywhere. They're pervasive, and you can get them cheap.
Yeah.
And this was not tonally... who is it? Karina Bejo was a writer, and Javier Garcia Miranda was the artist. Wrong tonality.
Yeah.
With that pen bobbing up and down. This was wrong tonality, right? Too cartoony, too cutesy for what I expected.
There was some cartoony. There's a lot of. Is this the one? Let me look through this again. There's a lot of like. I mean, it starts out with a bunch of silence, a silent fight, and like it's aliens, two people in hoodies.
Oh, it's silent. No one can hear you scream in space.
Yeah, I guess, and no one can hear vampires suck. No one can hear you suck in space.
She was the unsexiest she's ever been in any book. Well, she was in a jumpsuit.
She wakes up in her Vampirella garb.
Yeah, but
then she puts on a jumpsuit.
Yeah, the whole rest of it's her in a jumpsuit.
So it's like, then she's just a brunette chick walking around.
Yeah, she doesn't like vamp out or anything.
And she says she's got different stuff. Now, I'm not completely familiar with Vampirella. So I don't know the differences between Vampirella and regular vampires.
Don't care.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think she started out as just kind of like an Uncle Creepy, where she would just host things, and she didn't really have a character. She was just hot and pointed in the direction of where the next story was going to be happening.
Like Elvira.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's a goth chick with big tits.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, there's this big movement now to like kind of cover up cleavage and cover up boobs, and you know, we can't look at boobs. The boobs are bad.
They're not supposed to
cover them up. No, we're just not supposed to cover. They're not supposed to have them, and we're not supposed to. You know, they're allowed to have them.
Yeah,
we're just not. Us guys are not allowed to acknowledge that they're there.
I'm 6'5". I can't help looking. I'm tall.
Yeah, well, I'm 6", and I still. Look,
you're too close to eye height.
Yeah, I know.
They can't see my head.
But it's bad. It's okay. Bad stuff.
I get it.
Bad news, boobs. But all I'm saying is that, you know, there are some people in the world, out there in the world, who are proud of their bodies and they just show it.
Yep.
And they walk around like that. Why can't there be people in comics that are like that now? It's like, especially when you have like a cheesecakey character like Vampirella, you have her on the cover in this like bathing suit sort of thing. So just, you know, go for it. You know, Tigra used to walk around in a bathing suit, and they used to comment on that all the time too. Like that, you know, Tigra, are you going to put something on or something? She's like, no, I don't care. I'm all out here. I don't give a shit.
Saucy
I got
Tigra.
Hair coming out of my asshole.
Yep. And that was okay in the 70s. Most of the porn stars did.
But now it's like they're covering it all up. So,
well, you know, the pubes had to go.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's why Tiger left, because like people are just, they're just not into that.
Nobody wants to see that. There's no need for it with all the safety razor technology available.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be Tiger then if she shaved it all off.
She could do that part.
She would just be there. She'd be Razor Nick Lady.
They call her Reverse Patch. She's the Reverse Patch.
Tiny cuts all over her. You'd call her Emo Girl. But meow, anyway, meow, laser, this story, the shockeroo ending is that Vampirella, as well as the rest of them, got implanted with aliens, and they passed out for a day.
Yeah.
And so then they woke up, and they're like, holy shit, what the hell happened? I just looked at my chronometer.
Yep.
And we've slept for a day.
Yeah.
And so they're sitting there, and all of a sudden...
Yeah.
An alien bursts out of Vampirella's chest.
I was waiting for it, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't believe it when it happened. I was so surprised, I mean.
It that happened in an Alien comic.
I know. Mm-hmm. It came out. And no one can hear you scream or talk in space.
Or suck. I don't know. I'm just not, Vampirella's not my thing. I like some of the Alien movies, but they've kind of been diluted and... Yep. Aliens in the comics, I say let's do some good alien comics and let's stop having the aliens team up with people.
Yeah, or just let them die for a while.
I want to see an Aliens Meet the Brood comic.
That's coming. It'll be here next week now that you asked for it.
Because basically that's what they are. Anyway, the brood is what the aliens are. So let's.
No, I know. That's fine. Redundancy. That's okay, though. But you asked for it. Now it's coming. They will go anywhere that they're fucking mentioned. They're like Candyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we segue to something else?
So, yeah. Speaking of Candyman.
Oh, yeah?
What about Mockingbird number one?
I don't understand the correlation, but I like the comic book a lot.
It's deep.
Is it?
Mockingbird number one is by Chelsea Kane.
And art by Joelle Jones. Was that a Winnie?
I don't know what that was.
A Winnie.
Yeah. Mockingbird number one, pretty strong issue.
Very, very strong issue. It's kind of like the... female Hawkeye.
Yeah.
In tonality, not her power set or anything like that, but smarter than Hawkeye and everything else, but the irreverence and the flippancy of a Hawkeye.
She's flippant, but not annoyingly flippant.
No.
I think she is likable in this. She's not a Juno character. She's kind of, you know...
She's smart.
She'll sleep with a dude. She doesn't care. She fucks around with him, says in bed, she wakes up and calls him a different name, which is kind of mean.
We've all done it.
When you wake up with a dude?
Yeah, well, yeah. Or a horse.
Or a horse.
Doesn't matter.
But, yeah, there are some... I think there are some exposition-y... There's a double splash page of a million words of them just looking down at a corpse.
Yeah.
That I think that... I just think that that could have been done better.
Oh, but it was so smart. I mean, it was such a clever interplay in how it uncovered that he took her down. And I wanted that history for the character where we hear about that, you know, she was infected. It gave me a nice introduction to the character and that you learn about. She was part of the Super Soldier program. She was given some. She shouldn't have been. One of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s agents, one of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s favorites, and, you know, sort of betrayed by her mentor's son. That was a nice, you know, Shakespearean moment that you need that much dialogue to do it. And I was intrigued by the corpse, like, because they were talking about her. They were referencing her the whole story. She was, this dead woman was a character in what they were saying.
Yeah.
I found that interesting.
Okay, that was good. I feel, and I think that the pages where she's in bed and she's like talking to herself and she's saying, oh, you're cuddling me again. And she's like, ah, get off of me. And he's like, and she's like playing. She acts like she reads the one guy's mind. And that was kind of a fun little thing. And it shows how smart she is. And I like that.
Right.
I feel like I've written enough comics to know when a comic book writer is putting filler in there. And when you have a double page splash of just two people talking, it really feels like the writer's going, oh shit, I've got to make a 22-page comic, or I've got to make a 20-page comic. I only have 16 pages of story. How am I going to do this? Oh, I know. I'll just do a double splash page here and a splash page there. Well, and that's what it feels like when they're sitting there talking over the corpse, and it's just words, 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 words. And when I see a ton of words like that, I it just turns me off a little bit.
And see, I find that funny because we lament for the olden age of comic books, and that was somewhat what we dealt with. We had very verbose comics back in the day.
We did, and comics have evolved that way, and I think that's a positive thing. I think not to the point where going back to the Vampirella comic, they had like pages and pages of no words, just oof, ugh, ah, ooh, slam, ooh, like that, and that was like that's like extreme in the other way. Yeah, I mean it's just like, but I think here it just felt like, I mean there's another, I mean there's the two splash pages we get. Are just her and him kind of talking to each other. There's a double splash page, and then there's a full splash page, and both of them, it's just them like looking at each other and talking with each other. That to me isn't like splash page worthy. I would rather have her like break out when she breaks out of that thing. That's a big moment. Give her that splash page, and she's got the things, and she gives him a big kick to the face. That's a splash page because it shows some impact and some action. It's not just to kind of lengthen the story. So that's what I'm just seeing. But I agree. I think that this is a really strong story. And it shows that Mockingbird is a strong character with a cool history. And it's too bad they didn't end up making the TV series like they were planning on doing. But I don't know. Maybe they'll work her in more in S.H.I.E.L.D. That'll be good.
Let us have something good in comics, really. I mean, just let us fuck TV. They're fine.
I'm not sure about this Red Widow that we get a backup
story. I started to read part of it, and that looked like Juno, so I walked away.
Yeah, it was definitely Juno. It's basically young Black Widow. I guess it's Black Widow before she gets married, before she's allowed to have a marriage license. She's a widow. So that's prenuptial Black Widow. Is that what it is?
No, but you know
what? I mean, it's not a flashback. This is another character,
right?
But she is a young Black Widow, and basically she's got a white, and she's the Red Widow, but she's got a white suit on.
That's confusing.
She looks like Colleen Wing,
or Spider Gwen.
She looks like Spider Gwen, yes. And we do need another female character with the spider theme, I think. I think that that's definitely necessary in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, because it's... fuck, I can't even do that level of sarcasm. Can't even pull off that level of... No.
Next book!
Yeah!
How about... did you have any trouble with Toil and Trouble? Optimus Douche, a.k.a. Rob Patey?
Merely just reading it and giving a fuck.
This is a new book by Margaret Scott.
Oi!
And Kelly and Nicole Matthews. We're sisters.
We kiss and do art.
I don't know. Might not be sisters. They could be married.
We don't know if they kiss.
Who knows?
I do know they do art, and the art was pretty. I just could not get into the fucking story.
Well, I think the problem here with the story is that, yes, I think people who really, really like their English lit class, they're going to love the hell out of this. So if you are like in school and you could be in high school or college and you're taking English Lit and you're on the semester where we're focusing on Shakespeare, man, you're gonna eat this up like it's made of chocolate and popcorn.
Who the fuck has time to read this shit if you're trying to dissect Shakespeare? I had two semesters of Shakespeare. This has nothing. No.
Well, It's who are those other two guys? that were like the background play, Rosencrantz and
Guildenstern.
Those two. It's those two, except they're telling the story from the perspective of the three witches from, is it Macbeth?
Yeah.
Yes.
I get it.
But
it's the wrong fucking art for that. I mean, if you're gonna fucking go after Renfair people, you don't do this Cartoon Network Samurai Jack kind of anime. You fucking or combo kind of Sailor Moonish. You do really, you know, deep Renfair intricate shit with tapestries.
Yeah, I kind of like the colors going on here. They're kind of bright and vibrant and everything. Mm-hmm. But I do, and I like the softness of it a little bit. But yeah, the big eyes, the kind of like exaggerated faces and everything. But what really just got me here was just that it's assuming that you just like, if you don't know this, you're just a stupid idiot. You just doesn't know Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Stupid. It's not like, it doesn't give any context as to what's going on. It doesn't say that this is a Shakespearean sort of thing. You piece it together because it mentions Macbeth, and it's got like other Shakespearean characters like in it, I think. I don't know. I haven't read Macbeth in a long time, or I haven't seen a movie version of it in a long time. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know the exact.
Nah. But nah, well, and the titles, Toil and Trouble, too.
Yeah, so that too. Yeah.
Takes away a bit of it.
But also, I mean, how many times have we seen a title that has nothing to do with that's like using some type of line from a play or a movie or something, and, you know, that's not exactly what they're kind of making it about. But it opens up, it says, fate is like the tide, only the strongest can move against it, and only for so long. You think I'd have already learned that already. My sister Riata and Kate disagreed with. I mean, it starts out with this character like we're just supposed to know this person, or we're just supposed to know. We don't even know what century it is, or like era it is.
Yeah, Viking. It looks like.
Yeah, they're Vikings, I guess, and knights and stuff. We don't even know where this is though.
Narnia. Like,
Are they, I thought for a second they were coming to America, but then...
then there were no damn dirty engines there.
There weren't. There were just people. Like, there weren't even people. There were, like, animal things. There was an elk. There was a...
Right.
There's a mountain. Then there's rune stones and stuff. And so I'm thinking, okay,
then you think you're in Ireland.
They're in Scotland, yeah, or something. But we have no one says where it is. No, I mean, no. We don't know. I mean, they're talking about sort of like a witchcraft sort of thing. And these are kind of Celtic rune sort of things. So I'm assuming that that's where this is happening. But,
and I guess if I was, if I knew all about Macbeth, I wouldn't be so stupid.
Don't help them make fun of you. Let them at least write it in. I know.
That's what they would say. But, and then at the other thing is that kind of bothers me is just that this is one of those stories that basically says that, okay, well, the guys are out there fighting. We're the ones that are going to be really doing the stuff.
Yep.
It's a very negative. I mean, these ladies are moving around among these guys as if, like, they're invisible almost, which might work, but it's like it's so obvious that they're doing that. They're having that conversation and she's doing her own thing over to the side, but right. Still there should be some kind of interaction or something. I don't know, it's just everything is so obvious, and it's not even obvious, but it's obvious like that if you try to say anything negative against it, you're just going to be stupid for saying negative against it. So I'm going to say negative things against it and call me stupid. I don't know, fuck you.
Wow. I think you're giving this book way more credit than anybody's going to give a fuck about it. I mean, what is it? Well, it's a book. Nah, I think we're good. We're all right.
Yeah, I just think that the characters, I didn't really care much about them. The story has no setting or context, or we don't even know where it's taking place. And it's assuming way too much.
Offer up a primer. If you want to get people into Shakespeare, or you want to get people into the source material, don't dump them off where you feel the story ended and takes off.
Yeah. Well, give them like something and say like, okay, well, this is the story of Macbeth. This is the you might know the story of Macbeth, but this is the real story of how things happened behind the scenes. That's all you need is like a paragraph explaining something like that, and then it gives you context from the beginning. It doesn't make you, it doesn't force you to try to be a puzzle maker.
To put it in theatre terms, it's like the play Noises Off. If Macbeth is the front stage of Act 1, this is the backstage of Act 2, where you see everything happening behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. We think. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
You added this.
Blah!
Hate you. What else?
What else? We got some bad books this week. Mockingbird is the highlight of our week.
And Mockingbird was excellent, despite the verbose double corpse spread. It was a good book, very good.
Well, what did you think? Did you think that Plutona number one was heavy enough for you?
Are you doing a joke about Pluto's gravity?
Plutonium. Is it plutonium heavy? It's an elemental.
Wait. I don't know where it sits on the element chart, because Pluto's gravity, though, it's not even a planet anymore. It's so far out there, it would have no gravity.
Did it go away?
No, it didn't go away. It's a moon. They said, fuck this shit. It's not worthy of being a planet. It's a moon. We only have 8 planets in the solar system. You knew that, right?
No, I thought they added a couple more.
Nope.
Okay.
They just took away Pluto. There's 8.
Well, speaking of Juno...
Yeah.
This is like Juno because it's got like it's got a lot of words.
A teenage girl who's sassy. A
teenage girl who's sassy and has the right thing to say all the time and hates the world and hates everything. She treats her friends like shit, and I don't know why I am supposed to care about this girl.
I found that she, how this was written, it seems that there's 2 sides to her, and it helped that they had her, well, I like the mystery of it all, okay, it starts with, you know, sort of this whisper from the woods, you know, this kind of like, help me, come find me kind of whisper, we find out that the world is filled with superheroes, that superheroes are commonplace, one of the kids that we follow through this is actually a superhero watcher, and they report on the internet, like the fucking Autobahn Society, but they're
cape watching, they're bird watchers.
Yeah, they are, cape watchers. Yeah. And there was a complexity of these kids. You know, I got the kid who smokes but really needs friends, and he comes into this group because he's clearly being tough because he's been hurt. The Juno kid, you know, I mean, her, you know, dad's a fucking alcoholic and late for work all the time. That does harden a kid to a certain extent. You know why?
I don't think that was the bully.
Was that the bully?
Yeah, that was the bully kid.
They all kind of looked alike.
Well, the art, yeah. Well, not really, but I mean, I think that there were different characters here that they went to, but they all come together sort of here. And my problem is, it seemed like this Juno kid is sort of supposed to be the central character, maybe only because she's on the cover of the book. But she was the one I hated. I didn't like her. I mean, I liked all the other kids. I liked the young kid. Well, the young kid is just kind of like nothing. He's just got his mind on his little Game Boy, and he just wanders around and does nothing.
Right.
But I like the cape-watching kid. I like the bully kid. I like the girl who spent all night making a coat and then asshole borrows it all day long, and then she tries to steal it. And then afterwards, when she says, well, you know, can I have my coat back? I don't want any smoke on it. She's like, here, fine. That's all you do is talk about your fucking coat. And it's like, and it was just like kind of... I really have not found anything
redeeming
positive or redeeming about that girl.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's because she's got the you're right. She's the one who gets saddled with her brother. It was the douche kid who had the bad father.
Yeah, and the douche kid was kind of cool. And you're right, he did have layers. I think that it was cool that it's like he, in front of the friends, he made fun of the kid for cape watching. But when it was those two alone, he was kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool, and I think that there's a fun world that Vaughn has made here. Mm-hmm. It's just that
not Vaughn.
Oh, who
this
is
this? Lemire. Lemire and Lennox. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, it's Lemire. It's a fun world that Lemire has made here. It's just that I think that he made the central. I think he got the central character wrong. I would have rather had the bully be the central character. I would at least we see a layer to him. We don't see a layer to this other girl.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know. I guess I was mildly tolerant of her because she shifted a little bit halfway through. Like, when she lost her brother and the shit became real, she was the one who was kind of leading the charge, it seemed.
Well, yeah, because she didn't want to get in trouble. She was bitching about having to watch him anyway the whole time.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck her. I know why I'm trying to defend her.
The best part of the book is when, like, the guy's watching and the bully comes up and he goes, "You see anything good?" And he's bending over in front of him.
His camera, in front of his binoculars.
In front of his binoculars. Yeah. His ass is in the way. But you're looking at perv, and then he goes back and it's him bending over and he's looking.
Well, and they keep calling him Tim the Tugger because somebody caught him masturbating once.
Yeah, that's great. It's just fun. And then, like, it's just cool. I think I really like the scene where he convinces him. He was like, he convinces the guy that this is kind of a cool thing to do. He's like, I just really like that scene. That was the best. I think for me, that was the best scene in the book.
Well, I'm sorry. I know so many of these, you know, bitter and sardonic and, you know, the world owes me teens that I'll give this an authenticity A+ for putting that character in there as much as we don't like him, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, it feels like these might be the kids. You know that book, We Can Never Go Home? The book from Black
Mass? Yes, yeah.
And we reviewed the first issue, and then last week we tried to review the second issue, or the last issue, but we had some technical...
We actually did review it, just nobody ever heard it.
Yes, it was the lost tape. Another lost tape. That was our best one.
No, you missed nothing. We really dialed that one in. We're much better this week.
Yeah, we are. We're more succinct and sassy. But it feels like these kids are living in that same world where there are superheroes, but they're acting like real kids. They're swearing. They're, like, talking about sex. They're making fun of each other, and they're not nice to each other sometimes. But still, everyone except the shitty kid on the cover seems to have a soul, at least. And
I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah, most teenage girls don't have souls.
Oh, that's not true.
Okay.
Since JD isn't here, I'm defending teenage girls.
They be bitches till 35, then all the cards go in our favor. Exactly. And you know I'm right.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, so... and then it's an interesting development at the end, where they're just like kind of... they happen upon Plutona.
Almost like Who Killed Retro Girl.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have friends with lots of women under 35. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if there's, like, you know, there's a certain control factor that you've got over men till that age. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think you're right. A little bit.
No, I'm very right.
Jeff Lemire does the art for the last part of it. It's kind of nice to see his artwork again.
Yeah, and I liked Emmy Lennox. I thought, you know, it's tonally in the Lemire verse. If, like, you know, Jeff Lemire is like a producer, like, you know, Robert Kirkman kind of is at Image. It's within Lemire's style house to have Lennox on board.
I did, and I really liked her when she sang "Here Comes Lorraine Again."
Yeah, the red hair scared me though. The butch cut red hair. Her and Grace Jones, I just went, you know, man, woman, I can't figure it out. It's the 80s, and I'm scared.
Her name is Emmy Lennox, not Annie.
We all got it.
Sorry. She does have a very Lemire-esque tone to her stuff. It's loose. It's not very detailed. But
still, succinct. It's so damn succinct.
Yeah. Facial expressions, eyes, really good eyes.
No wasted panels, and everyone drives the story forward. It's really well done.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. This was a very good book. I liked it. It's just that I do think that I don't like this lead character. If she is the lead character, maybe she's not the lead character. Maybe it just happens that she was on the first cover, and we're going to have the Tugger kid on the second cover, and Bully kid on the next one, and it's like that. But I think that I would have rather seen... this have a cover with the kid looking with the binoculars on a hill.
I don't think she really got more stage time though.
But she's on the cover though, so that's what bothers me about the book.
Maybe there's multiple covers.
Maybe.
Let's not dwell on that because we have one more book.
We do have one more book, and it's a doozy.
What is it?
It's called We Stand on Guard by Brian K. Vaughan and Steve Scroos.
What's that about, Bug?
Well, as I read this in my hoose today, sipping on a Molson, it's about how horrible America is. Is it not, eh?
Yeah.
Knob?
Yeah, but we deserve it.
What do you mean, you hoser?
Oh, y'all. Explain. We've always subjugated them. When England isn't subjugating them, we're subjugating them. And we take all their good actors. We take all their hottest people.
Talking a boot.
We take all their hottest people. And they're not allowed to have, their police aren't allowed to have cars. They have to ride horses.
Well, when I see something like this, and
it's plausible though. That's where I don't. Yes. Are we demonized? Yes, but it's plausible.
Partially plausible, but also at the same time, it's like, you know what? If you're going to sit there and like really, I mean, there are some really deep digs at like American culture in this in this book. You know what? Why don't you not take the American dollars for this fucking book then, Mr. Vaughan and Scroky? I just think that, you know, it's like that. Why are people? It's like, if you hate us so much, why are you using an American company like Image to kind of publish this book?
Because if it was published by a Canadian company, no one would be able to buy it.
I guess.
Because it's done by Canadians. What don't you get? I'm okay.
I don't know.
I'm okay with us being demonized plausibly. And, you know, we're not completely heartless, okay? I mean, the one woman who was torturing one of the Canadian rebels, she actually showed a level of mercy. She did not run the hologram torture program where the woman would have been fucked by her nice father.
Well, she about did, and she broke down.
Yes, but she apologized afterwards and then gave her a soothing hologram to come down from. She didn't have to do that.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you're a part of it, you can make fun of it all you want to. You can satirize it. You can pick it apart. You can do what you want to do. But as soon as you're doing it from an from somewhere else, it kind of bothers me. You know, it's like, you know, first off, the first issue was not strong enough for me to want to read the second and third issue. But I did because you guys wanted to read it, so I did that. I don't think I really want to read this book anymore. It didn't make me think, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking about America in a very different way now. And
it's an implausible...
Turn it around.
It's a situation we haven't been confronted with yet, but okay.
I mean, is there so much bad blood between America, or are they so pissed off up there in Canada that this is like... a fantasy come true?
No, but remember, Bug, and again, I don't think there's a personal assault in this, because this takes place 100 years from now, okay? So in that time period, we've had some kind of global cataclysm where we lost all of our water, and I'll tell you, sure as shit, before we let ourselves die and starve, we'll go melt the fucking, you know, Molson Golden Rockies and have it drip down. If we need water and they've got a bunch of fucking ice up there where we can get it, what starts wars? You know, conflicts over resources. That's a pretty big fucking resource to lose, and they got a lot of it.
I would rather see oil, like something a little bit more, I don't know, oil. I mean, I know that's cliche, but still, we have water on either sides of us. We have water in the middle of us. I don't know why water is the factor in this war.
The Great Lights will dry up pretty quick if we try to sump pump them, and we can't drink the fucking salt water.
We could get the salt out of it.
Desalinization is too expensive and takes up too much energy. You gotta have something to fucking power the desalinization process.
Well, we learn to drink salty water then.
Then we die.
Well, then... Fuck Canada.
There we go. Now you've got the right proper mind to read We Stand on Guard.
I've got some very nice friends in Canada. I think it's fine. Great. And it's the thing is, when I talk to them, they're all super nice to me and everything like that. They're the nicest people that I've probably ever met.
Because you're not trying to take their fucking water like they are in the store.
The thing is there a growing, is there like an underlying resentment? It seems like this is something that's like Brian K. Vaughan is brewing about this a little bit.
I mean, you can look at it in the context of, is it a, all right, so ask yourself what societal norms are you trying to reflect? Is he trying to reflect, you know, our stampede across the Middle East for oil? Is that the parable he's trying to make with that? And is that his perception of what we're doing there coming out in this book? You could say that. I don't know. I haven't read enough interviews about it. But his ideas are so much better. Trump should really use this as his military policy when he gets elected in 2016. Because look, now fucking look at this, okay? This is where Bush shit the bed, okay? Bush ended up using a bunch of fucking weapons that were left over for 30 years because we had such a military stockpile. That's why our economy never got spurred by the wars, because we were just using all of our old shit. It wasn't like until we started fucking throwing drones out over there that we had to build new crap to go bomb people with, and that's what makes an economy spring back to life.
Well, so and that'll be your platform when you run. When you run, and yeah. I'm your vice president.
All right, 2020, and I'm going to go on the giant fucking robots, big hollow hover carriers, and I also want a space elevator and a moon base and a Mars base.
Remember when I thought that the space elevator was like hooked up to the moon, and yeah. I was like, "How's that work?" Because we rotate.
I'm not letting you on the space elevator committee.
Space elevator. We would have tied ourselves up.
I think I'm going to create the Department of Special Needs, and that is what I'm going to let you manage. It's for special projects.
Don't worry. I think I'm qualified for vice president.
Yeah, like Biden. I could just like send you off to Africa and just like you can go get headdresses and shit and make nice.
It'll have you shot.
You'd be our you'd be our cultural ambassador if you're the vice president.
Oh yes, I think that I'm qualified for that.
Every country.
Anyway, Steve Skros. Steve Skros.
Eh? Great art.
I don't know.
I like it. Yes.
All right. I'm not feeling this artwork, man. This is loose, really loose.
I don't know what you mean by loose. Say more.
Not well inked. I mean, this first page where I'm on issue two, but the first page where on issue two where the guy kicks in the door, that's pretty nice. But still, I feel like there just needs to be some type of inking going on here that's better. I want things to be have a little bit more depth. The colors are very almost looking like they're crayoned over. They've got a crayon sort of feel to them. I don't know. I'm just not into this artwork, and just because I've seen Steve Skros do so much amazing things with Doc Frankenstein and some of his work with Cable and some of his like other Marvel work, that for some reason this is not up to par with that.
Okay.
Me.
No, I don't get that vibe. I mean, I kind of like, again, you just, the big robots are fucking awesome. All the future military tech is awesome. And I like his representation. Is it a little, like a nice, high quality, kind of like R. Crumb a little bit? I mean, I could see where he's, what do I mean by that? I can see where he accentuates the ugliness of our form.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see where that's sort of more pronounced within the art. So that would probably be the only thing, but I like that, though. I like the flawed stuff.
I will say that issue three is the best looking of the three issues. So it's getting better as it goes on. But that's not the way it should be happening.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Again, I'm hooked. I mean, I like the context of we've seen the whole life of these two kids when America first bombed and first attacked, to this young girl now is sort of almost the new leader of this resistance. It happened rather quickly, but I guess We always say that not enough happens in the books, so I think it's a catch 22. You want to develop the characters, but you know you're not going to have forever to do it. So she has kind of accelerated from noob in this resistance troop against the Americans to the leader. But she's proven herself apt. He's given her enough fuck you empowerment moments that fine, okay. Yeah, it makes sense. If everybody else is dying, she'd be the next leader.
Yeah, well, I love Saga.
Saga.
Which we haven't covered in a while. We should do a massive.
It's been hard to cover. It's so deep now.
I'm a little behind on it, so I need to read like the last five issues. But maybe we'll do a mega catch up here in the next week or two, whenever the next issue.
Same time we're gonna read all the fucking Dark Knight books, right?
Yeah, same week. But that's our books this week. If any hate mail can be sent to where are they sending mail these days?
All right, send it to me. Send it to Rob Patey, RobPatey at Comcast.net. Or at Rob Patey on Twitter, RobPatey, Facebook. Just put fucking Rob Patey in Google, and there's a gajillion ways to contact me.
Yeah, or you could follow me on the Twitters at Mark_L_Miller. You could email me hate mail, and I will promptly put it in the trash can.
he'll look at the Twitter once every 3 weeks. Same thing with Facebook.
No, I check out Twitter.
Do you check out Twitter more?
Yeah, I check out Facebook, too.
All right.
Yeah, but usually I don't respond. I don't like to. I don't feel type. Like it, it's not that I don't want to respond. If I respond, I'll respond on the air. I feel like I've said what I need to say on the air, and I don't need to like repeat myself in like talkbacks or things like that. But occasionally I get caught up in a tête-à-tête.
I don't know. They say don't feed the trolls. I say why not? It's just they're stupid. Who cares? It's fun. Yeah.
The Private Eye, that's another one that I like of Brian K. Vaughan.
Private Eye is awesome. That's the digital rights managed one where you can just pay whatever you want for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can pay.
I wonder what
or $1 million. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting. All right, are we out of here?
I wonder how many American dollars he makes off of that.
Why are you so assed up? It's just a fictional statement.
It frustrates me.
Wow. Maybe...
The whole thing, I don't know. The whole cut about because they explained it in this issue. This whole thing about why they got into the fight. This is the issue where they finally explain why they're fighting each other.
Right.
And they said something about like global warming, and then they said like explaining global warming to an American is something stupid or something like that.
Well, they've got a lot of fat manufacturing standards that we don't have in place. They somehow found a way to have this socialist magical society where all their needs are federally cared for, and they have enough manufacturing sustainability that they haven't shit the bed environmentally as well, just kind of letting, like China's done. They've just released all the controls to be the cheapest, and it's like walking through, I don't know, the fucking, remember that dumpster in Fraggle Rock? Those fucking garbage people?
Mm-hmm.
That's like walking through downtown Beijing.
Hmm.
It's you have the air, you can eat the air.
Have you been to downtown Beijing?
I'm not saying words.
Have you?
Yeah, let's. All right, so.
Have you?
End of the podcast.
Because that must have been like Godzilla visiting them.
Yeah, all right. End of the podcast. I'm Rob Patey.
I'm JD.
No. JD, this is why it's the Ultron podcast, because I'm going to keep doing more Ultron podcasts. I'm kind of doing that because I'm doing all the recording and editing and posting. So yes. I'm hijacking the name out of respect to Pop-Tarts, out of respect to the spoiler alert that we've created together, because we don't do this as well as JD does. We are terrible at this. So this is the Ultron podcast.
We're the subpar one.
No, yeah, we're
but we love you guys. We love our listeners and our readers, and
love is strong.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I love my dog.
I enjoy listening. I enjoy like hearing interactions. Like I read the talkbacks a lot. I just don't participate in them a lot.
You're a lurker, not a.
I am a lurker.
Yeah.
I've become a lurker because I've taken part in many a talk pack fracas, if you will.
All right, I'm going to either lob off this nonsense at the end, or I'm going to go dig into the Uncle Drunkle Miller tapes.
No! All right, well, this is Mark underscore L underscore Miller.
All right, TTFN, guys. I'm Rob Patey. Just and, talk to us, please.
And we are going to be doing a horror cast here.